As you have probably seen from the bulletin, the title of my message today is Time for Spiritual Battle. It really is great to see all of you today, and I hope that you're all doing well in the Lord. Now, if you'll allow me, I will be first in line to hear the exhortation of my own sermon this morning. I'm going to take cuts, get to the front of the line, because I feel the need to stir up my own soul regarding the theme of God's Word today. But of course, I also ask you to join me, for I do believe it is, by extension, Christ's Word to us together as His flock here today. And our launching text this morning is from the book of Revelation, where the apostle and prophet John, in prophetic and literal imagery, tells us something so important. He had a vision, and here's what he saw. Revelation 12, 7 to 12, he said, "Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time.'" Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, now folks, our beloved planet Earth is not just a physical entity floating in space. No, it's more than that. It's also the battleground for a cosmic struggle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And as our opening scripture reveals, the events unfolding on our planet right now are not mere coincidences. No, they're actually part of a grand plan. Now, saints, this cosmic conflict, which is depicted in this artwork here of Satan and his angels being cast out of heaven. And by the way, when I use artwork like this, I want you to know I don't necessarily think literally that is exactly the way it looks. These are artists' depictions. These are their senses or hunches or creative ideas trying to describe what they read. But the reality of it may be something completely different. So please let no one be stumbled by any of the artwork. Let it look too much like a fantasy, for these are just simply symbols of a deeper reality that probably, should we be able to even look into it, would probably blow our minds if we really could see. But it depicts the cosmic conflict, and saints, amid this conflict, God is working tirelessly to rescue you and me from our sin and bring us closer to him. And as he does so, he is actually creating a community of people who will join both with him and the two-thirds of the heavenly creatures who did not rebel during Satan's insurrection. And that's a whole nother story and sermon in itself. But church, what's going on right now is there's a chance being given to us to be a part of something that is much greater than ourselves, to be a part of the ultimate victory of good over evil. And so you and I mustn't let this opportunity slip away. Now, we have to embrace God's love and his guidance and work towards becoming a functioning part of his chosen people in Christ. And I'm truly, therefore, urging us not to be swayed by the temptations of Satan in this hour, but instead, let's choose the path of righteousness very intentionally, and let's join God in his mission, because together we can make a difference and be a part of, yes, something truly magnificent. So let's not waste this chance to be part of God's plan and secure our place in the ultimate victory of good over evil. Amen? Just like that picture. The whole consummation of it all is that good is going to triumph over evil. Now, in trying to put that in perspective for a moment, dear ones, I want to remind you that the journey of salvation is not only about receiving the forgiveness of our sins. No, it starts there, but there's more involved. It's also about becoming more like Jesus. How many times have we said this? And ultimately, joining our Heavenly Father in glory in the new heaven and new earth that's coming. But there is another option. We're not going to take it. However, any human beings who do choose to follow Satan's plan, whether they do it knowingly or unknowingly, will unfortunately, Scripture tells us, and very painfully tells us, that they'll be condemned to join him in his place of judgment for all eternity. But there is another option, and that is for those of us who surrender to the power of the cross and acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, there is a greater purpose waiting for us in eternity. That's great news. When good triumphs over evil and good is all there is from that point on, I want to be part of that age. Yeah. But right here and now, it's a constant battle between good and evil. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it's a constant battle between good and evil, and the stakes couldn't be higher. So I'm going to just ask right away as we get going, are you ready to re-enlist in the fight?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, if you are, I want to say be encouraged, because if you join in on this journey and you actively engage with these kinds of challenges in life, you're guaranteed to come out victorious.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Both in terms of your eternal salvation in the long haul, but also in the everyday struggles you face. But my brother or sister, the enemy of your soul knows he can't drag you down to hell if you have faith in Christ. So what he'll try to do instead is to make your life a living hell here and now. I mean, did you hear me? He knows he can't drag you down to hell, but he'll do everything in his power to make your life now a living hell instead. But the good news is, don't worry, you can fight back. When he attacks, it's just simply time to say, it's time for battle. Get prepared, use the tools at your disposal, and stand your ground. And with that kind of determination, you'll definitely come out on top. I mean, that's what Revelation 12:11 told us, right? It said Satan was defeated. He was cast down to the earth, but it says they have defeated him. Say with me, defeated him. By the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Are you hearing this with me, everyone? So, in light of this, dear ones, I remind myself, and so I remind you this morning, that we cannot afford to live in ignorance and simply brush off the hellish encounters that come our way as mere coincidences. No, we must recognize that there is often something deeper at play, something that requires us to take a stand and engage in what we call spiritual warfare. And by our engaging, we can achieve some victory over these situations and emerge stronger in our faith. So let's not be complacent. Amen? But rather, let's be proactive in our approach to these encounters and trust in the power of God to guide us toward triumph. But church, I want to focus for just a moment on a key point in our text when it states regarding the victors that, in fact, let's read it together. They did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Yeah, they were not afraid to die. Now look, this is a big piece of defeating hell. Folks, as we all know, and this is not news, I think, to anybody, Scripture tells us that there are distinct limits to our time on this earth. Isn't that true? Right. I mean, sometimes we live like we're going to live forever in our minds on this earth, in these earthly bodies. We forget about eternity sometimes in the busyness of life. No, there are limits. Yeah, no matter how much we achieve or how great our victories may be, we will all eventually face death. You know, two of my favorite pastors that I have listened to regularly over the years, and I really appreciate their lives and ministries, in just the last couple years have gone home to be with the Lord, national level recognized pastors. I mean, wonderful achievements in ministry, tremendous, you know, victories for the kingdom of God and God's people. But they still had to go home to glory when the physical frame wore out. You know what I'm saying? They still had to go. I'm glad there's still videos that I can watch. Thankful for that. But we're all going to face death. It's just a fact that can't be denied unless, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ returns first and performs what's called the miracle of translation at his second coming, when our earthly bodies are traded in for spiritual bodies in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? But everyone, I submit to you that death is not just a physical event. It is that. But in a larger sense, it's a manifestation of the spiritual struggle that has been going on since the fall of man in the garden. And I say this because it was there through disobedience that death entered the human race, and it has been a constant battle ever since. What happened in the fall of man was, I want to say, the first onslaught of the battle. And unfortunately, man lost. And that's what this picture shows. You see, Adam, there he is, and the representation of eating the forbidden fruit. And then that introduced decay, old age, there you see, and ultimately death in the top picture. And of course, the bottom picture is Adam and Eve, and that they aged and brought death into the world. And so we still today know that we all have that fateful appointment with destiny when we're going to leave this life and cross over into the world to come. But the good news is that now in Christ, despite the fact that death has come into the world, you and I don't have to accept that as the last word. We don't have to accept defeat because we know that there is a resurrection life. Jesus has been the firstborn of those that will be raised from the dead. And if we're in Christ, he has removed the sting of death and he gives us the hope now of immortality. But that is then, for now, in the midst of the battles that we fight, the things that death and darkness have introduced into our world, we can now choose to live our lives in a way that honors God and that prepares us for the immortality that's coming. We can choose to follow Christ's teachings and strive to be the best spiritually reborn versions of ourselves. And beyond ourselves, you and I can also choose to make a difference in this world and leave a positive impact on those around us for the kingdom of God. So I say, no matter how many sands are left in the hourglass, let's not be discouraged by the limits of our time on this earth. Let's not be discouraged by that. But rather, let's use our time wisely. And let's make the most of every moment. Let's live with purpose. Let's live with passion. knowing that our actions today will have an impact on our eternal destiny. Amen? Amen. So I urge you to join me in freshly considering the words of our text and the reality of our mortality. And in light of it, let's not waste our time on life's trivial pursuits. But instead, let's focus on what truly matters and make a difference in the world. Are we in agreement on that?
Yes.
Praise God. Oh, and by the way, and this is important, please understand that the proof of your faith is not found in achieving perfection and victory in every aspect of your life. And I really want to share that with you, please, because even though the Bible does teach that God's healing and provision are available to us, it also acknowledges that perfect wholeness and sinlessness are unattainable in this present life. But what you and I must do is to continue always to grow in our faith, always reaching out in faith to receive God's provisions and graces. Yes, while understanding that we can't expect this journey to be without challenges and confrontations of all kinds. And folks, and similarly then, it's crucial to keep in mind that our faith is not determined by our achievements or our failures in this world. That's not the referendum on our faith. Rather, it's determined by our ability to have faith in God and to constantly develop our relationship with Him no matter what. Are you with me? And so we can't allow setbacks or defeats to dishearten us. It's hard not to, right?
Yes.
It's hard not to have defeats and setbacks dishearten us. They just, there's times I feel just like the Scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz when those evil monkeys are pulling all the straw out of him. Remember when he's sitting there and they just jerked all the straw out of the inside of him? And you're just sitting there and you're going, I just feel so defeated. You can feel gutted by the battles of life. And the evil one wants to be like those evil monkeys. I mean, another analogy, and please, you know, I know I'm preaching the gospel here. I don't want to minimize the sanctity of the moment, but it's a good image of how the battles from hell, they want to just pull the guts right out of you. And there's been so many people who have been gutted, Christian folk, and the devil's trying to gut me constantly. And we have to recognize the reality of that, as difficult and painful as it is. But we can't be disheartened by it. Instead, we should view these opportunities as chances to somehow learn and improve ourselves in Christ. And I'm telling you, that is really a mind bender. Because when you're going through such times where you feel like the stuffings are being beat right out of you or pulled right out of you, to try to get in a frame of mind that says, well, there's something that I can learn in Christ in all of this. There's a chance to improve myself. That's true, but it's hard. It's hard to keep that perspective. But we still have to have this conversation because it's the true facts. And so I urge you to keep pushing forward in your faith journey. And pray for someone when you feel like you've just got all of the stuffings pulled out of you in the battle. Ask the Lord, just like in the Wizard of Oz, the friends came along and just stuffed him back in. To say, God, if I need to even have my brothers and sisters in Christ, put my stuffings back in. Let me say, help put my stuffings back in. Because we, like that military image, the band of brothers, you see, when you go through battle together, you stand with each other and support each other in the midst of it. I urge you to keep pushing forward in your faith journey. Embrace the challenges and confrontations that come your way, knowing that there are opportunities for growth and transformation. As hard as that is in the midst of the pain and the suffering. Trust in God's provisions, even when they may not come in the way you expect or desire. And above all, remember that your faith is not about achieving perfection, but about continually growing closer to the Lord. Lord, in the end, this is about two individuals, me and you, and me getting closer to you somehow through it all, the battles of this. Amen? And I just say this because, I mean, have you ever encountered other Christians who believe that mastering spiritual warfare means you become virtually invincible in every aspect of life? I've met such folk. They're out there. But church, that's a common misconception that can actually be discouraging to many people. In fact, I suggest to you that that kind of mindset breeds arrogance, and it creates a group of individuals who seem to have it all figured out, telling others to simply follow in their footsteps for guaranteed success. But look, you know what? If we're really honest, we know that life is full of ups and downs, and no one is immune to its challenges. And true understanding of spiritual warfare means acknowledging that we are all vulnerable and need to rely on Christ's power for strength and guidance to stand strong in the middle of the battle. In other words, I always need for him to be the cavalry riding in. I'm relying on him. Send in the cavalry, Lord Jesus. I constantly need that to happen. In the middle of the battle. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
Yeah, because, yes, dear ones, it's just reality that life is full of trials and challenges that can leave us feeling lost and helpless. Someone say with me, lost and helpless. Yeah. And even though we may be praying so hard for a solution and for such a long time, it sometimes seems like God just isn't listening. Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that many of us will face trials where we won't find the solution we were looking for. You know, we have in our mind the solution we are looking for, right? We're not going to find that one. For example, although God can heal, we might be struggling to receive that healing. I understand that. But even if that's the case, saints, you and I should never become passive and give up hope.
Amen.
Right? Right. We have to always fight for what we believe in. Remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? Where the king, the Persian king, he wanted to burn them alive because they wouldn't worship him and his idol. And they said, well, you can throw us in the furnace of fire, but we're going to fight for what we believe in here. Even if it's in the fire. And you know what? In the fire is where God appeared. We always have to fight for what we believe in. And even if it means sometimes that we go down with a ship, if we're standing at the helm with our hand on the wheel and the Lord's got his hand on us, even if we go down with the ship, let us go down like the captain. Remember in Titanic? If you saw the movie Titanic, the captain went into the steering compartment and he stood there at his post, responsibly, still fighting for what he believed in, trying till the last minute to manage the ship while it sank. And we have to understand that even if the Lord delivers us or not, as the Hebrew children said to the king, even if God does not deliver us, he might, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to stay in the fight. And the Lord was with them. And in that case, he brought deliverance to them, didn't he? But not in every case has he done that. He's just stood with them as they stood at the helm, piloting in the middle of the battle, as the ship sank, but it didn't sink alone. God was with them. But we always have to fight for what we believe in, standing tall until the end. So essentially, I guess I'm saying in what I've just been presenting here, we need to be careful not to become either too arrogant or too indifferent as we fight our battles. But we should never surrender without a fight. Amen? Man, instead, you and I should seek God and his battle resources first, rather than relying on human explanations or reasonings. And I say this because obviously, let's read it together. Without a battle, there can be no victory. I think it's interesting that a lot of times people talk about wanting to walk in victory, but then when the battle comes, they run for the hills. Well, you say, wait a minute. Without a battle, there can be no victory. You can't be walking in victory unless you're winning a battle. So the more victorious you want to be, the more victory you want to enjoy and celebrate and even promote that you're, you know, a victor of victors, then you have to be someone who just really loves to battle. You have to love the fight. Are you with me? Because otherwise, it's what we call a Pyrrhic victory. You know, you have to actually have a battle. Now, loved ones, this is a truth that's been proven time and time again throughout history. I mean, just look at the story of ancient Israel. Our forefathers in the faith, they were promised the land of Canaan, the promised land, but they had to what? Fight for it. And this is actually a picture of what God has promised us too, but it's not going to be realized without a contest. And so the God-ordained reality is that there will always be battles for you and me to fight. Wake up every day and know there's a battle to fight. New days, new battles. And know this, the enemy of our souls will never let up. He'll never let up, and we have to be prepared to face him head on. Jesus said, the thief's coming, and he comes to do three things, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And friends, Satan's strategy never changes. It hasn't over the past 2,000 years, at least in the church age. And it's not going to until he's finally put completely out of business. He's committed to doing everything in his power to erode God's purpose, erode God's will and its fulfillment and blessing in our lives. He is there to contest it at every point. So we must be ready to fight for what is rightfully ours, just like our spiritual forefathers. Because the Lord, without question, wants to work his grace in our lives, but he calls us into the arena of warfare to learn how to overcome the enemy by walking in obedience to Jesus Christ. And so we must learn how to do that battle and emerge victorious in God's grace, friends. Now, I think one of the biggest pieces of this is that it starts by us remembering, because it's so easy to forget, and folks, I forget it, that it's so easy to forget that there's more to this world than what meets the eye. I'm saying there are beings that exist beyond our perception, some of which are kind and compassionate, while others are malicious and malevolent. And they are very active. Yes, the angels of God are there, and they're tirelessly fighting on our behalf while the demons of hell are actively working to undermine us and thwart God's plans for our lives. Now, I know it can be overwhelming to think about, but we have to stay vigilant and trust that we're not alone in this battle. We have unseen supporters and unseen companions and unseen aides in the angels. You know, people today, some really struggle with the thought of angels or anything supernatural like that. And yet, you know, there's these, I don't know if you saw it this week, there was these supposed little corpses of aliens that were presented in Mexico. Did any of you see this? And they had a picture of it, and it was this big governmental presentation. You know, and people are fascinated now with UFOs, have you noticed? I mean, it's just now more than ever, you know, declassify everything. We want to know if they're out there. We want to know, you know, what they look like. And are these little things flying around, all alien orbs checking us out for an invasion? And, you know, what's going on? People are really, some very intelligent people. Look, I've looked online and seen guys that got PhDs in science thinking that, you know, there really are aliens out there and that there's, you know, ETs. And I'm saying, hey, you know what? That's amazing that they have that kind of faith, that there really may be. And they even think they might have scientific, you know, knowledge that validates the hypothesis. And I just say, wow, that's amazing. God hasn't really spoken very clearly on that in Scripture at all, really. But all I can say is amazing that they have that kind of faith in something they cannot see yet. Are you with me? And yet they'll look at me and say I'm a lunatic as a preacher because I believe there could be angels that I have not seen. Do you see that there's just a little bit of doublespeak going on there? I'm into fantasy, but they're into science. And I just go, well, wait a minute. Maybe there's such a thing as a scientific fantasy or a fantasy of science. Maybe we're both actually onto a similar concept or idea that there are beings out there that we cannot see. Now, of course, for us, we feel confident that Scripture clarifies that these are what are called angels and that they are at work constantly all around us. And we're not alone in this battle. We have angel assistance. I don't know why God doesn't always allow us to see the unseen world. That's a big question. I know it's a legitimate question. But sometimes Scripture records God has opened people's eyes to see that realm. And they have given testimony of what they have seen. I'm just saying that we have angelic assistance. And because we do, let's not shy away from the spiritual battles. Yeah, this world is contested. But let's embrace and fight with all our might, knowing that victory is within our reach. Saints, with God on our side, we can overcome any obstacle and emerge victorious, either here and now or there and later. Okay? Always remember, there is no victory without a battle. In fact, we need to walk around and say that to ourselves. There is no victory without a battle. Now, having said that, I'm very much aware that life can feel, therefore, like a constant battle. You could say, well, that can wear you out, that thought. Yeah, with the adversary always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at the picture there, that big lion coming after those sheep. You always got to fight him off. And it can be exhausting to feel like everything is working against you, especially when you're trying to live according to God's purpose and will. Remember, the enemy, he's not going to ever change his strategy. He's always going to be trying to erode the blessings God has in store for you. But God's going to be constantly as vigorously trying to extend his grace to you in the midst of the fight. So I want you to think about that. For every bit as aggressively as hell is trying to erode the blessings, God's grace is flooding in to try to enforce the blessing in your life, to validate it, to strengthen it. The Bible says when the enemy seeks to come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. So when the enemy tries to encroach and do this, the Lord says, I'm going to send like a standard, a flood back of grace. That's available. But it has to be channeled by you and me. It's like a grace resource that comes. We've got to channel it in the midst of the fight. And he wants to teach us how to overcome the enemy then through Christ by engaging in that warfare. Look, I know it's not easy. I'm urging you to join me. I feel at times like I want to give up. But you know what? I'm just saying, let's not give up, okay? Amen. Let's not give up together. I need to know that you're not giving up so I don't give up. It helps. It helps a lot. It helps me a lot. You're not alone in this battle, and with God's help, you can emerge victorious. But folks, back to this point. Please listen. The Bible warns us that in the last days, the devil will do everything in his power to exhaust us. Did you know that? The Bible said he will try to wear down the saints. She looks pretty worn out, don't she? That's not good English, but it looks true. But saints, don't worry. Fear not, because you and I can fight back. It's time to go to battle, even against weariness. Yeah, I'm saying don't brush it off like it's just no big deal. And while, yes, it's essential to trust in the Lord's strength in these times, you and I also need to take a stand against whatever's draining us. Because, well, I've seen over the years, Satan is a very cunning mastermind. And you know what he does? He preys on the little things in life. I mean, I'm talking about not things as obvious as addiction or drunkenness, but things that are just as destructive. I'm talking about little things that slowly chip away at relationships, causing chaos and insecurity in homes. They're the pesky annoyances that irritate, frustrate, and wear us down over time. The drip, 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 drip. They wear you down. But again, we don't have to fear it. Because if we're aware of it and we're strong in the Lord, we can overcome those insidious tactics and live a life free from Satan's grasp. So let's gear up and get ready to battle the forces of darkness. They're trying to wear you down. They're trying to wear me down. And church, there's something else extremely important to know, and it's this. Aligning yourself with God's ways is essential to battle effectively and achieve victory in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this because I don't want anybody to be confused. Having said that, it's important to note that your salvation is not earned through fighting. All right? Jesus did all that fighting for you. But rather, you receive that as a gift from God through Jesus Christ, right? However, once you're saved and you're walking the spiritual walk, in order to realize ongoing victory in that spiritual life, decisive growth is necessary, including, like this picture reveals, learning how to align yourself with the troops. Okay, folks? Yes. Because as the Bible Greek word suggests, submission means positioning yourself correctly to move effectively in battle. See how those are all lined up in perfect formation? That's what submission means, that I'm going to align myself before the Lord with others in the body of Christ to move effectively in battle. I'm telling you, it's a sad fact that many people experience discouragement and defeat in spiritual battle because they're simply not in alignment with the Lord's ways, either due to, well, just ignorance or sometimes just pure disobedience. And they're not in alignment with God's people, the church. We're in battle formation. And sometimes what we cannot absorb alone, we could absorb together. Does that make sense? If I'm trying to do this by myself, I'm going to get taken down. But if I'm surrounded in battle formation, we've all got our shields up like that famous Roman, remember how the Romans did that? They put up their shields like this and they made that big blockade. Then we're going to be able to survive it. That's why mastering the art of aligning with God's ways is crucial to living a victorious life in Christ. And church, he can help us there because he's been there. Did you know that our Lord Jesus, who was sinless and the Son of God, also faced spiritual warfare in his life and ministry? Yeah. In fact, there are three notable episodes that show us just that. Let's take a brief look. How about the story of the demoniac of Gadara? Here's how the story reads. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at the other side of the lake, as Jesus stepped out of the boat, a naked man possessed by an unclean spirit came running from the tombs and fell on his knees in front of Jesus. And this man lived in the tombs and was so violent no one could pass that way, nor could they bind him anymore, not even with chains, for he'd been chained hand and foot but had torn the chains apart and broken the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue this man. Night and day he would cry out and cut himself with stones. And now as he knelt before Jesus, the demon shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Have you come here to torment me before the appointed time?" For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of him, you unclean spirit." And Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And then he begged Jesus over and over not to send them to the pit. And now a large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside nearby. So the demon begged Jesus, saying, "Allow us to go into the pigs." And Jesus gave them permission. And the spirits came out and entered the pigs. And immediately the herd of pigs, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported what had happened in the town and countryside. And the people came out to see for themselves. And they saw the man who had been possessed sitting at the feet of Jesus, dressed and in his right mind. But they were fearful, and they pled with Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus was getting back into the boat, the man who had been delivered begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "Return home to your family and friends and tell them how the Lord has had mercy on you." And so the man went away and began to tell the people in the towns around about what Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Wow, that's one of the greatest stories in the New Testament. Okay, so everyone, there's a picture of it. Picture this. A man from Gadara, desperate for deliverance, cried out with all his might. But something strange was happening. It wasn't his own voice that was speaking. No, it was a demon using his vocal cords to communicate with Jesus. And here's the significant point. The demon only spoke up because of something Jesus had just said. And what was that? Well, Jesus had commanded the demon to come out. But the spirit didn't flee right away. Wow. You know, church, in the midst of Jesus' ministry, there was never a dull moment. No. Confrontation was always lurking around the corner. It was ready to pounce at any given moment. But Jesus was never one to shy away from a challenge. He fearlessly approached this man possessed by a spirit, taking the man's hands and staring deep into his eyes. And that spirit put up a fight, but Jesus was not one to back down. And he confronted that spirit head on, and he worked tirelessly to deliver the man from its grasp. It was a battle, no doubt about it. Now, it's a great story now, dear ones, but please consider this with me. In this account, we see a man's life that has been so completely destroyed by a force so evil, so sinister, that it can only be defined as being truly demonic. Is there anyone that would agree with that? Yes. And yet, when Jesus confronts this malevolent power, the demons have the audacity to ask why Jesus is tormenting them. How crazy is that? Can you even believe it? That's the nature of the adversary we're dealing with in this story. One who is the very selfish epitome of darkness, personified in Satan himself. And he's not alone. He's got a whole army of fallen angels and demons at his disposal, and they're all working together to wreak havoc on our world. It's a power structure unlike anything we've ever seen before. But it's up to us to stand up against it. Amen. But here's the good news, dear ones. We don't have to live in fear of the adversary, no. 1 John 4:4 says that the spirit who lives in us is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Amen. And yet it's important to recognize that he is present in the world. And if you let him, he'll try to take advantage of you. Satan's a master at long-term manipulation, luring you into temptation traps disguised as relationships that seem just too good to be true. But don't be fooled. It's all a lie from the adversary who wants nothing more than to destroy you, wants to take you down. The Bible tells us that there are promotions that come from the Lord, but there are also confusions that come from the adversary that some people mistake for God's promotion somehow. Now, I'm asking you, have you ever felt like everything around you is conspiring against you? Like you're being driven by circumstance and there's no way out? Well, my brother or sister, it's not just you. No, the adversary will stop at nothing to bring you to a place of despair, despondency, depression, and then bondage. Just like the demoniac of Gadara, he wants to drive you to a place of distraction and frustration. But fear not. For the story of the demoniac is not just a tale of what Jesus was able to do for one man, but it was also a lesson on how Satan operates. So the key, like our Lord Jesus, is to declare war on the adversary and his tactics. Don't let him walk all over you. You got to stand up and fight back. Sometimes I don't have the energy to stand up. I lay down and fight back. That song says, so when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. Sometimes I'm there and sometimes I'm just laying on the ground. But I'm fighting. Fighting from a horizontal position. I'm taking a stand, laying down. He's taking a stand, laying down. Yeah, but I'm not really laying down. I'm just conserving my strength for the battle. You know, we see another notable exemplary battle in spiritual warfare Christ faced. In Luke 11, where we see Jesus cast out a devil, it says one time Jesus was sending a demon out of a man who couldn't talk. And when the demon came out, the man was able to speak. The crowds were amazed. But some of the people said, he uses the power of Satan to force demons out of people. Satan is the ruler of demons. But when Jesus knew what they were thinking, he said to them, every kingdom that fights against itself will be destroyed. And a family that fights against itself will break apart. So if Satan is fighting against himself, how will his kingdom survive? You say that I use the power of Satan to force out demons? But if I use Satan's power to force out demons, then what power do your people use when they force out demons? So your own people will prove that you're wrong. But I use the power of God to force out demons. And this shows that God's kingdom has now come to you. Wow. Now, okay, saints, so throughout history, people have made accusations against Jesus on this point. In fact, even today, some argue that it's not biblical for the church to even talk about deliverance from demonic influence. Yeah, but I urge you to consider this. Yes, there are those who overplay the importance of deliverance. I've seen that. But there are also those who completely neglect it. The key is always to find the middle ground. And I believe that you and I can do this by looking at Jesus and following the principles outlined in the Bible. In fact, James 4:7 says very clearly, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. But it's an armed resistance. We're armed with the word of God, our testimony, that we don't love our lives unto death. This is a crucial aspect of our faith. Friends, we simply cannot ignore the reality of spiritual warfare and the need for deliverance. So I'm going to implore you to not be swayed by those who dismiss the importance of deliverance. Instead, let's resist the devil and all of his schemes and embrace the freedom and victory that comes through that deliverance. But even as I urge you to consider the importance of standing in authority against your adversary, I'm going to caution you to do it without succumbing to arrogance. Because we are, after all, dealing with high principalities and powers. Yes, you and I must not play into the adversary's hands by allowing ourselves to become overconfident or cocky in spiritual warfare. Instead, the Lord calls us to approach our spiritual battles with wisdom, with humility, with worshipfulness, and a deep dependence on Him. But that doesn't mean we should shy away from confrontation when it's necessary. No. There are absolutely times when you and I must boldly assert ourselves and confront the spiritual challenges we face. We have to recognize that these satanic forces are at work and they're seeking to harm us and those we love. And we have to be prepared to stand up against them. But in the midst of that, it's important to remember that when God wants to remove a demon, He does so with ease and precision. Jesus said He uses the finger of God to cast them out. It's almost like to flick them off. Yep. Amen. And that's why you and I can approach our battles with confidence, knowing we have the strong power of the Lord on our side. And you might have to do repeated flicking. Amen. But eventually it gives way. But you know, church, the story of Jesus healing this mute man is about so much more than just restoring his speech. It's also about the power of communication and how it can make or break relationships. Yes, we all know how frustrating it is when we can't express ourselves or when someone else can't understand us. True? Have you ever had that? Yeah, but did you know that there are actually evil spirits out there whose sole job is to hinder communication and destroy relationships? It's true. And that's why we need to be on guard and fight against them. Satan wants nothing more than to silence the gospel and to keep us from spreading the good news. He tried to do it last Sunday here. But communication is a gift from God, and we need to use it to build up our relationships and share His love with others. And when we let speechlessness and silence take over, we're playing right into Satan's hands, and we're risking the destruction of our marriages, our families, our churches, our friendships, and even business partnerships. So we've got to go to battle against these destructive forces and stand firm in our faith. Amen. We're not going to get muted by Satan. We have the power and the authority to resist the enemy, but we also have to remain humble and dependent on the Lord as we do it. But with His help, we can overcome those obstacles and keep our relationships strong and healthy. Are you with me, church? Let's do this. All right, and friends, I see a final notable exemplary battle in spiritual warfare that Christ also faced when He healed a woman in Luke chapter 13, and here's how it reads. It said, Jesus saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She was in church that day. She'd been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, He called her over and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. And then He touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. Wow, I can only imagine. How she praised God. Okay. All right, everyone, clearly this lady at church wasn't just dealing with a regular sickness or disability. No, there was an evil spirit behind it all. Now, obviously, I know that not all sickness is caused by the devil, obviously. But in this case, it was. The Bible even refers to it as a spirit of infirmity. And I want to submit to you that infirmity is a spirit that can afflict in many ways. Sometimes it feels like infirmity just keeps passing through your whole family in the form of sickness, and then even material things around you can actually start becoming infirm and breaking down. It's just like everything around you is draining you of your patience, resources, and strength, like Mr. Potato Head falling apart. It's just pulling all your parts off. Well, brothers and sisters, you and I can either sit back and let it all happen, pretending like it's just a coincidence, or we can stand up and fight against the enemy that's trying to bring us down. It's time to engage the battle with the spirit of infirmity. It's time to engage it. I'm freshly engaging it, Lord. I need you guys to engage with me, that we freshly all together engage battle against the spirit of infirmity that would come against us in the name of Jesus today. Well, dear one, life or death, health or sickness, poverty or provision, communication and healthy relationships, or even division and strife. Friend, all of these things can be more than just circumstances. Why? Because you're living on a planet where a cosmic struggle is taking place. But the good news is that you are not just a pawn in the game. No, in Christ, you have been made a priest and a king unto our God. That's what Scripture says. And as a king in the kingdom under King Jesus, you have the power to go to battle against the adversary and not just take it lying down. Our Lord Jesus himself told you, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So, dear one, I'm calling you today to freshly make or renew your choice to battle the enemy wherever necessary to receive God's best for you in Christ. And with the very essential help of Christ's powerful Spirit, will you make that choice this morning? I'm going to ask you to do it as we follow, though, this quick hymn. I want you to listen to the words of this because it really spoke about me. Maybe it's going to say yes to somebody here. But it's a song of commitment, and if you know the words, I invite you to sing along.
In the armor of the light, Because His mighty power is real in me. I am loved. I am accepted by the Savior of my soul. I am loved. I am accepted. And my wounds will be made whole.
Yes, my wounds will be made whole. My wounds will be made whole.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're standing in a battle. Lord, we ask you to receive that song as our commitment prayer. May by the power of your Spirit now, you re-gear us up and you re-anoint us and you re-equip us and fill us with what we need inside, Lord, to stand in the battle in the armor of the light. And even though we're wounded, Lord, give us the strength to hang in and press forward to victory, Lord Jesus. With you, we can do it, Lord. And we thank you for your help by your Spirit today. Heal our wounds and make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. And for the few extra moments, I appreciate it. Say, listen, there's going to be prayer for any need available after the service right up here. We invite you to come and receive that prayer. Otherwise, we want to dismiss you at a time of fellowship and greeting one another. Let's keep the area up here set apart for prayer, so maybe exit the sanctuary for visiting outside, please, as we ask you to do. And otherwise, I'm going to leave you now with this blessing. Wow, this blessing. And now may Christ, who conquered sin and suffering, danger and death, who overcame all obstacles, all handicaps, all threats, all terrors, all enemies, and finished his work, may he help you to conquer everything in your life which prevents you from doing his will and living the abundant life that he intends for you. May he guide and strengthen you so that you may be at peace in him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.